Thank you so much, Caroline, for moderating. You know, APHS says, present as disclosures. I have no relationships to disclose except that I'm married and have a daughter. But that's not in the purview of APHA. So the objectives of this presentation are to describe the link between contraception and human rights. And the speakers who preceded me talked about the challenges being faced. And you were talking about what is happening in Syria. I think that story is being repeating so often for women without access to contraception and safe motherhood. And also, as the UN just adopted the Sustainable Development Goals, as we all know, in September at the General Assembly, and I had the privilege of being there. And the biggest question on everybody's mind is, when you're talking about Goal 3, which is health for all at all ages, women often get left out. Again, you know, we are not bashing our male colleagues here. I see my dean, whom it's a pleasure to work for you. Thank you so much, Dean Abler. And, you know, I mean, I've been married for more years than I care to remember. But unfortunately, we women are at the receiving end of the stick. And that's why it's important that we have forums like these to discuss as to what we can do. And according to the WHO report, which was just released in 2014, there are still 222 million women and girls worldwide who do not have access to contraception. Now, this is not thousands, it is million. And in this day and age, when we are tweeting and twittering and everything, we still have this basic issue. And a lot of it is because of the social determinants of health, and also, as both the previous presenters were talking, just to reiterate what you said, it's so much of the cultural issue. It's like I was working in the Middle East a few years ago, and one of the big issues was patients had to get the permission of their husbands before they got contraception. And I don't think much has changed, even though in 1994 we had the Program of Action. Please note, the spelling is not a mistake. It's actually Program of Action, because it's a British spelling and not the Americanized version. So, and the reproductive health as defined by this groundbreaking document in 1994 is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity in all matters. So it kind of touches on the WHO definition of health relating to the reproductive system and to its functions and processes. Unfortunately, this looks so nice on paper, but it's not the case in real life, and even today. So what is our current picture? This slide is from Guttmacher, and I really thought, if you look at this, still there are so many issues. You can look at the number of unintended pregnancies is over 80 million, ladies and gentlemen, which I think is a very big number. And this slide is kind of self-explanatory. And one of the other issues is most of these numbers come from developing countries or low and mid-income countries. And even in some other countries, including our own, where we are having so many fights in the U.S. So is contraception use a three-dimensional puzzle? So the reason I said that is because so many factors are influencing contraception use. You have on the individual level, you have the knowledge, attitudes, and perception. And a lot of times there's shyness in discussing contraceptive use, especially if women only can see a male provider. It's very embarrassing for them. And then you have the interpersonal views, where you have, you know, partner views and behaviors. And also, if you don't, like, I just want to share a personal story. When I was working in the Middle East, my daughter was just like about, I think she was 4. And so all these people, you know, my nurse, my patients used to ask me this question, if something was wrong with me. And I go like, huh? What's wrong with me? Otherwise, I wouldn't be coming to work. They said, because then my nurse explained that they would see me coming to work and I wasn't pregnant. So they wanted to know if there was something wrong with my uterus. This was the literal question they asked me. And they said, why wasn't my husband divorcing me and getting another woman, because I was not getting pregnant and having a child every year or every other year. So this is what I'm trying to say. It is so hard when you go outside and talk to women about contraception. Like, yes, you can use contraception, but it's not that something wrong with you. So it's very, very hard to discuss this. It's a very culturally sensitive topic. And also the other big issue we have is when I was working in the United Nations Population Fund, one of the things when we were talking about contraception, especially to younger people, we found that it was very helpful when we talked to the religious leaders to explain to them contraception was not a method for promoting premarital or extramarital sex in certain communities, but it was a way of safeguarding the health and well-being of women. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of them were in our court. They did agree that we could discuss with talk about contraception. So this was when I worked on the HIV/AIDS update, this was something which we really took into consideration. So one of the big things I have found is, along with the C, I think communication is crucial in getting the message across about contraception and busting myths. Now, this is, according to the United Nations, the world contraceptive views. And you can see, the different, it's pretty much, self-explanatory, and you can see the prevalence of contraceptive use. You can see how low it is in Africa. It's kind of higher in Asia. It's higher in Latin America, Europe, North America, Oceania. But you see, Africa is where you have most of the unmet needs of contraception. So this is one of the figures just put out by the UN, so it's pretty recent data. And then what is the current picture? You can see that, again, this is divided. This is in the U.S., so it's divided also by race. So you can see that is the use in non-Hispanic women, Hispanic women. Again, this is a comparison between 2000 to 2012, and I don't think there's been much change. I mean, it's not that dramatic. And this is from the Guttmacher. And one of the other things, I really like this UNFPA cover, when every year they come up with the state of the world population, because it's, you have to explain to the couple or the extended family that it's by choice somebody has children and not by chance. So this is a crucial message which is being used by many NGOs. And also, one of the things is there's a rights-based approach to family planning, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of, because it is basically built on the explicit identification of rights of the holders, that is the individuals and also the governments and people who are really responsible for delivering on the rights. So from ICPD in 1994 to today, which is 2015, and we just had the 20th anniversary of the Beijing Platform of Action, which also focused on women's health and reproductive rights, and now family planning is accepted as a range of rights. So that's why whenever non-governmental organizations or many of the UN agencies, and I think my colleague from the UNICEF was talking, you do put in a rights-based approach when you are looking at contraception and how to increase contraception use. And one of the things I really liked was this from the, thank you. I'm being reminded I have 5 minutes, otherwise she's going to throw me out. We have Gates Foundation strategy, which I really like this slide because Melinda Gates has taken it upon herself as a personal mission to address the unmet need of contraception. And if you read Melinda's blog and follow what Gates, the Gateses are doing, it's really interesting. So I really like this slide because it kind of tells us, especially when you're talking to some people, like you have this, you just say that, what is it that you need to address? Because when you're going out in the field and you want to work in contraception, this is a great slide. You can always modify it and show it as you like. So this, and one of the other things you need to understand, in so many places, by the time they get the contraceptives, a lot of them are expired, so they're not useful. Whether it's an intrauterine device, it's an oral contraceptive pill, or it is a condom. So these are some of the issues we are facing. And then this, I really like this slide because there's so many myths about contraceptive use. Again, this is dependent on the socioeconomic determinants, the cultural milieu. Like only wayward girls use condoms. You know, it's like the myth, like HIV, AIDS, if you have sex with a young virgin girl, child, a prepubertal child, you will get cured from HIV, AIDS. So these are the myths which are actually so dangerous. I mean, it's sad because it's laughable, but it's really out there even in this day and age at the end of 2015. And I just wanted to talk very briefly about one of my NGOs, is the American Medical Women's Association. What we are doing with Global Outcomes is we have this clinic in Nepal, and Nepal, as you know, has been pretty devastated because of the earthquake, but we have some of the medical students and the residents who are going there, and they're training the local health workers on how to do a proper antenatal care checkup. So this is something with the local actions here by funding this and, you know, making sure our residents go there by giving them a scholarship to go there, they have global outcomes. And also, this is Clinic Nepal, which is founded by the American Women's Hospital Services, which is a subsidiary of the American Medical Association. And in the past couple of years, we've been able to support 50,000 villagers. And this was the only clinic which was one of the clinics which was standing in that region after the earthquake. And we were able to provide contraceptive services and other reproductive healthcare services. So this is something which is really nice. And then, you know, I'm not supporting her, but I think what she said is true, that I really like this quote, that the rights of women and girls is the unfinished business of the 21st century. And that's why I think we are all sitting here and, you know, listening to this. So thank you so much. And these are my references.